done a number of these now, not doing too bad, cranking out once a week. And it's been a week, wow, it has been quite a productive one, and doing a project which isn't really design in a sense, it's more of the business of design. But I wanted to talk about something else, and again, Anchor is probably my most personal of opinions, so anything I do say is just my opinion and not that of anyone else. So this is what I think about, and I thought it'd be good to talk not about how to collaborate on projects and how to work with businesses, but actually the function and culture of a design team, because I think my opinions are probably quite different to others about it, and it might make some value of me talking about it over the next 20 minutes or so. My son's in swimming lessons. I'm outside. I walk him down again just to see how he is, but it's probably more valuable for me to get these done. I know he can swim, he's just kind of topping up. So I've usually been, and you'll probably learn from the first episode, I've usually been in the situation where it has been a small design team, and it's been a silo in some cases and a bit more integrated in others. And the perception of a design team that I've found from other businesses is that it is a group that need to meet up regularly, talk about design, go to events together, and critique each other's work. And that does work in some cases, but I wouldn't say that it is, that it's not scalable for one. It does help to kind of reinvigorate the culture, but it can be quite costly on time and also money to have all these trips and getaways and stuff. Though I do find some teams going away for like a kind of 1 week trip to Mallorca or something, and that seems quite valuable to kind of press the reset button and to just ascertain what they're doing. And I'm even of the opinion sometimes the daily stand-ups that we feel like we should do can actually erode some of the trust or the productivity rather in design teams. I'm in a position now where I am growing the design function in our department, and I'm training myself into ways that make for the most efficient, high quality design expertise, which practically means that you need to keep designers engaged, you need to enable them to go and make mistakes, and you also need to challenge them in slightly scary ways. And I'm working on this method, and it's not a new one, that I think a UX/product designer works well with a UI interaction visual designer, whatever you call it. I think that the power of two outweighs that of one, and yeah, maybe 1 + 2 = 3 in that case. That it is a way that it feels like small teamwork, but not big teamwork. You can challenge each other, and certainly our experiments with pair design are helping kind of make the case for that. And when we do need to come together as a group, and ultimately we'll have two lots of two, so kind of two mini design teams, and I'll coach kind of between them and do the assessing, but moreover create this kind of framework to work in, because traditional design can involve a lot of chin stroking and kind of sometimes design procrastination. And as you build a team, you need to ensure that that team is going to be on the work. So if anything, growing the team enables myself to represent design at that level and ensure that we're getting the right kind of scopes for the projects that we do endeavour to work on. So we now and again do at the end of the week retrospectives. That does help assess any problems, and we do focus on the problems rather than the good things. We hope that the good things are kind of summarized in various Slack messages or just conversations around the kitchen or that kind of thing. But when there are persistent problems, then it is the kind of core function of that retrospective to start thinking of that. And not just think about it, enable people to make actions to fix it. So we'll use a lightning decision jam to kind of fast forward that. And recent retrospectives have just lasted 30 minutes. With critiques and design reviews, trying to not have heavy-handed internal design critiques. Moreover, let the users tell us. And that's quite a general statement, but certainly when getting kind of the first few projects and you'd say, oh, we need to do user testing, and they say, oh, do we really need to do that, and can we afford to do that? You can't not afford to do it, because it changes the conversation between this is a team creating a design for this person. You actually start involving a third person, the other, which is the customer or the kind of perceived customer. And it moves the conversation to what is best for them rather than the people paying for it. And that's where I'm putting my focus on. So I haven't yet figured out how to do that when we're not working on projects. We do find that the internal projects cause the most stress and take too long, probably because we're not using a process like a design sprint or some kind of exercise. It's kind of like the case of the plumber's house is the one that's leaking because they're not applying their skills to their problems. So I think coaching is good. I think just kind of moving around, getting people outside of their working kind of efforts when they're grabbing a cup of coffee or refilling their water flask and asking how it's going, and create a flexible structure. But I'd like to find a way to dip into using an exercise, which we might have to invent. I know that other kind of product teams at Facebook and probably Airbnb and others have fully formed design critiques, but I'm of the opinion that we don't want to create some kind of bubble / procrastination / taking longer than we should on creating what we need to create. We need to create the best work of our lives, but maybe it shouldn't be us that determines what that is. So maybe this episode's a work in progress of the kind of exercise that we need for making sure that the output is of good quality. And when it comes to kind of defining a culture, you have to bring everyone along with you. So we do lightning talks on a Friday near lunchtime. I'm going to encourage others in the design team to do that, because that's when everyone knows what you're doing. And you can't just create a design team within a bubble. It has to permeate through. And certainly some of the meetings that I've had with prospective new partners, everyone has got some kind of value out of me just describing the process or showing them how things look. And, you know, we talk about workshops, but what does that involve? And just showing them a few photos of past ones kind of cements that this is as productive as it can be. And productivity today is in the news. People are complaining that they're not getting the same wages as they used to or anymore. Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge. How do you get more wages? You probably do better as a business. Or maybe, and probably what I'm missing here, is the kind of market point of view, that they don't want to pay for more stuff that they could get done cheaper. But that's for another episode. I think that nurturing a design culture is also about pushing and stretching and trying new things and making mistakes. And that's how you learn. When I'm talking to like new candidates, they ask about training, and their perception of training is that when they sign up, they kind of, they're led by the hand on this on the training program that we've spent months defining. And that's simply not the case. It can't be. And I don't know if it's called active learning or whatever, but designers and any individuals within any business, they are unique people. They have unique things that I call, kind of fires them up, they are interested in and passionate about. And they will not learn effectively stuff that doesn't match with their interests, personality, those kind of things. So each training, if we call it that, has to be on a per-person basis and has to be led by them as well. So it is about knowing yourself. And when you know yourself and what you're good at and what you're not good at, and you don't want to be good at, actually, is probably the main thing, then everything becomes a bit more valuable. So when I'll talk to UI designers, and I find that they're passionate about UI design and they like thinking and they like everything to have a purpose and a backstory, that's fantastic. And if they're comfortable with that, then I would point them to other areas, because, you know, I look at articles and content throughout the whole week, and if I can usefully point them in the direction of things, and, you know, I'm nearing my mid-30s as well, so it's I've been in design for a number of years, and anything that comes naturally to me that I can pass on and is valuable to them, then so be it. But when you get the case of maybe they would call themselves a graphic designer that has been an agency that is doing branding, print marketing, websites, maybe a bit of video and photography, and they want to do this thing called UX design, and just after a few conversations you actually figure out that they just want to be relevant, and UX gets a lot of press, and their current agency doesn't give them access to the interesting thing called the internet. And I do want to help, but you have to be amazingly practical about it. I can't spend all my time training someone that just wants to be relevant without a key desire to have found out that bit in the internet and digital design that fires them up. And I just wonder if it's laziness or... It's a personal opinion. I mean, if you're relevant and you feel like you're not, then there should be something inside of you to figure out what you should be doing more of. And you should be spending your time reading up on that. And I guess some people put a barrier in saying, oh, my current company doesn't let me do that. Well, show your current company the value of it. I mean, I started doing some of the user-centered design kind of principles and you know, inviting users to feedback on stuff, not because I was told, but because I wanted to try it out. And if it annoyed the company I was doing it with at the time, then, you know, that's evidence for me that this isn't a role that's going to kind of encourage me to develop my skills. So you have to be what I guess is called a active learner. There is no system to plug into. And if there is, it wouldn't really work, would it? I mean, I had a designer of ours who's been talking about design systems for a while. And he said the other day, do you know what? I've thought about it. I've looked at it. I'm not really that fired up about it. And I was just so thankful that he had figured out what fires him up. And I don't really care that, you know, he's not going to be doing this thing. If anything, it enables us to look at other things that he could be looking at, and, you know, to eat my own dog food. He'll be the one to suggest it. my training and my skill, and I guess what I do within a design team, is very different to a design role. I mean, I'm trying to do actually less project work. I will still do it because I can't be not practicing what I preach. And if anything, it does allow me to see where some of our methodologies might be kind of not working so well, and, you know, it's probably my role to figure out why and what we can do. I mean, for instance, I'm taking time out, yesterday I took time out to ask for feedback on a recent product that's been launched, which we did a design sprint for. Was it actually useful, or were we kind of putting in a solution that didn't really marry up with what they needed? And I accept criticism and questions about that. So I think design culture is something that you do over time. You do need to create the sense of family and caring. Sure, you know, do trips together, but ensure that somehow it's making the team stronger, and stronger to accept criticism. You gotta, like, we're considering doing a overnight kind of micro adventure, just to add a bit of balance. And we will go to events, and certainly when we've been with the folks in London, we've gone to a few evening events, but it's opt-in, it's not heavy-handed. But, you know, one takeaway that I'm gonna do for next time is work out what this thing is where we can ensure designers are creating the most relevant and best quality work. And probably another discussion for another time is, it's not all gold, you know, the projects that we do. Some of it And this was certainly sparked with a discussion that us two had the other night, where Sinks and Mills were kind of talking about their agency and how it is hard work, and they sometimes have to do some apps and websites for banking companies that they really don't want to shout about, because it's been a process of you know, it hasn't been a good representation of what they believe in. I wasn't at the talk, but I can imagine those were the kind of things. And yeah, it's a bit of real business life. You do have to sometimes do work that doesn't stretch you, but do you know what? You can probably do it really quickly and then get on to stuff that does fire you up. So I'm sure I'll talk more about doing that and keeping sane, I guess. I still do it. My word, I still do, you know, small updates for small clients for small money, but I do it because it doesn't take the focus off the other designers. So if anything, it's not about hiring a junior or an intern to do all the small things. If anything, I want everyone else to focus on the big valuable stuff, and I'll kind of make sure that they don't get impacted with other things. Anyway, I'm sure there was something useful in my 20 minute long personal opinion of design team cultures. I feel there's probably a bit more to add, and I'll try and work out what that is. But yeah, it is not all about stroking your chin, and maybe a good episode to do is about the whole thing of going deeper, and just remember that sometimes the projects that you're doing and the clients you're working with, they're not asking you to go deeper. You want to provide value, but you also got to provide what they're asking for. Thank you for listening. I may switch the button and put all this on iTunes and Spotify now that I've got a few episodes behind me. But please do feedback. It is my oxygen, as Gary Vaynerchuk would say. And hit me up on Twitter. That's probably the best feedback route I've got. Have a great day. I'm going to pick up my son now. And may see you next Saturday.